104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with a big story of the day.
I knew it was the right decision all along. I guess, Friday when I, you know, kind of finalized it was when we went through everything and, you know, really made the decision. And this is where I wanted to be. You know, this is where my NFL career started. And as a player, you want to finish where you start. And, you know, that's my ultimate goal. So
that's Jeff Heuermann, D-Mac, Zach Bye. I was out there hanging with Jeff Heuermann.
How was that?
It was a small crowd. And
give me a number.
Well, I could tell you who it was. It was the Post, dude from the Broncos website, me and Cecil, Clissy.
Threw a Y on the end of Clissy.
Dave from Channel 4, photographer.
Sure.
What else we got?
No, Dave.
Probably three or four other websiteies, webbers.
Local bloggers?
No, I don't know if I saw any local bloggers. That might have been it. I mean, unless there were some people like
You just named like eight people.
Yeah, that was
probably it.
That was probably it.
Well, yeah. It was short. I mean, it was a short presser.
Well, I mean, the turnaround. I mean, you know, I mean, what service? You know, the Giants would have taken 3 weeks to do this, apparently. But there's Jeff Heuermann, and all I could think was like, wow. Like, if I was just born tall, you know, I could be like a multimillionaire and, you know, not do much. Be pretty awesome.
Tall and be able to block.
Tall and able to block.
$9 million. There you go.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Like, we can make fun of it and him all you want, but the dude is still going to cash in on, like, millions of dollars. He has made millions of dollars to play football for the Denver Broncos.
Correct.
And he's asked, like, you know, how is free agency?
It was a very interesting process. Free agency is obviously something different that players don't go through a lot. But it's a process, you know, you got to enjoy it, and so it's fun.
I'd enjoy it if I barely played and I'd been hurt, like, for four straight years. And I mean, some of it's not his fault. I mean, none of it's really fault.
This is not on Jeff Heuermann. He's just Jeff Heuermann.
But he got the classic, like, he can never overcome the... He got hurt on his first day of rookie minicamp, like, running down the field. Like, how do you get hurt just, like, not in pads, no contact? How do you get just, like, hurt running down the field? He was out for, like, the year.
It happens.
It doesn't happen, though.
It sure does.
The first day of practice?
I remember, if you remember back, first day.
Doesn't really happen.
Well, no. I mean, first day.
I mean, it happened.
I mean, first day running, you know, unencumbered, that's unusual. Guys getting hurt running on, I think it happened to Emmanuel this year, didn't it?
Kind of like happened to Emmanuel, like, on a Wednesday in week 13 or something.
Didn't it happen to D-Mac?
No. My injury, I slipped and fell on, like, my driveway. Like a total dork.
I thought you were, like, crow-hopping to your son.
Well, that's where everything just got ripped apart. I wasn't crow-hopping. I was just catching a ball slightly to my left.
And that's it, huh?
Yeah, well,
that's all it took, huh?
Well, that's what I thought. I was like, wow, that was the most unathletic injury, like, ever. But then I realized I had fallen twice. Like, Zion Williamson, when he fell... I mean, that's kind of how I felt twice within, like, 2 weeks. Like, splayed, like a deer on ice or something. And then I think I was just hanging in there until, you know, the meniscus and the ACL just...
The final
totally,
job.
Totally ripped apart.
The final job.
Conveniently on a road trip to, you know, Northern California with the family. Good place to go to a hospital. Like San Jose Hospital. Not too dicey there. But congratulations to Jeff Heuermann. He seems like a nice enough guy. Got married about a month ago, making that classic mistake. Well, I mean, come on, man. You're like a good-looking 27-year-old millionaire. Hey, is Mike Trout married? How about Mike Trout?
How about that thing?
How is Mike Trout married? Because he just got a lot better-looking today.
4:30.
He got married last year?
Yeah.
Damn. All right.
$430 million.
Boy, he got married 2 years ago, 2017. Dang. He must love her.
Stupid money, man. 30% more than Bryce Harper got paid. 30%!
It's amazing. Hold on. I just got to check to make sure my kid is practicing baseball as we speak. Apparently. Not that education isn't smart. You know, it's funny. He's, my son, who's a really, I think he's a really good baseball player, but, you know, he's my son. He's 5'8", 150 pounds. He's, you know, middle infielder. I think he's really, really talented. And he has a dream of playing D1 baseball, and it's, you know, be a tough dream. We'll see. But one of his best buddies, fellow captain on the team with them, is this kid, Aiden Grimble. I'll say him by name. Real good kid. This kid, so my kid is 5'8", Zach, 150, right? Aiden, my friend, 6'4 and a half, 225, throws in the upper 80s/90s. So he's going to go, like, he's been offered Division I deals, and he's just turned them down. Because he's just going to go to a JUCO. Why is he going to go to a JUCO? Because he wants to be a professional baseball player. He doesn't even really care. And you know what? I don't know if I can blame him. Look at the money in this whole thing.
The route to become a professional baseball player is the most unusual of the four pro sports.
Yeah, it does. They don't really care.
Nope.
Doesn't matter.
I just said Bryce Harper's name. I mean, Bryce Harper,
you don't have
high school.
You don't have an inherent advantage like going to play in college. And guess what? They really don't care what college you're at.
They don't.
Whatever. They're not impressed. It doesn't matter. So, you know, so I'm sitting there and we're just talking baseball, which is so much fun for me at dinner last night. He was over for dinner. And I go, what about getting drafted? And my son starts laughing. I'm like, are you looking at your buddy here? No, he definitely could get drafted. You never know. If he has, we'll see how he does this spring. And you know, the draft is in June. But you're 6'4 and a half, 225, and you throw 90 miles an hour? I don't know.
Pretty good shot.
You're in the discussion, aren't
pretty
you?
Pretty good shot. You got those those prerequisites checked off. And baseball is such a heavy prerequisite landscape.
The Trout thing, though, because everybody was talking about, oh, Kyler Murray should go to baseball. And I'm like, well, you know, you're in baseball, you got to be Mike Trout. You got to be like the best of the best. I mean, it's so hard to do. And look who just got paid. Like, Nolan got paid. Bryce Harper got paid. Trout got paid. Machado got paid. I mean, these are superstars, Zach, right?
Sure.
Superstars.
Each one of those deals bigger than the other. Manny, Bryce, Nolan.
Well, when Manny, Nolan, Bryce, didn't it?
Manny, Nolan, Bryce,
Trout.
But is that right?
Yeah, I think so. That's
Manny,
right.
Nolan, Bryce, Trout. Yeah.
That's the way it should have gone.
Yeah. Yep. This Jeff Hyerman thing, though.
So Jeff Hyerman money seems like nothing. It seems like absolutely nothing.
He's made about $3 million bucks before this deal.
Yeah.
Looking at his total cash right now on SpotRac. He's made about $3 million. But Jeff Hyerman misses on average a quarter of an NFL season, not counting. I didn't count the entire 2015 season that he missed that you just referred to. That's how he started his career.
Do you remember what injury put him out last year? I'd be really impressed if you remember what the injury was. Because I definitely did not. Until,
was it like a lung? Was it?
You are good.
Did they have like a punctured lung?
Punctured lung. Good job. How'd you do that?
Thanks, dude. This is what we do.
So what? I was like, he's sitting up there and I'm like, I know he didn't play the whole year, but.
Yeah, he missed another quarter of a season this past year.
Yeah, let me see if he talks about that.
I mean,
yeah. Here's, okay, yeah.
You know, it was very frustrating. I took the shot, you know, kind of got the wind knocked out of me. And, you know, it was kind of one of those things, you know, I caught my wind, got back to the, you know, sideline and, you know, just kind of telling myself, you're good. And went back out there for a couple more plays and I was feeling it at that point.
Pretty tough, man. A punctured lung. It must be a little scary, you know, probably not being able to breathe whatsoever.
Sure.
Listen, I think the guy is fine. They got him to be more of a blocker anyways, not really a pass catcher. I saw your guy, Håkanström.
Close.
Hockaloogie?
Mm-mm.
Hockenstram? Hockenstum?
Hockinson.
Hockinson.
TJ Hockinson.
He got mocked by Brooks today.
I saw.
I know.
Look, the Broncos need to do something in that position because the guy who Jeff Heuerman has been, right? If you count, and let's just go here. If you count that season that he missed, and yeah, it should count. They drafted him in the third round to play. He didn't, so it should count. He's missed 22 games since he's got here. That's a season and a half. The guy is just not reliable to be on the field. But my real issue with Jeff Heuerman, and it's not really Jeff Heuerman's fault, right? Like, I remember you during the season saying, hey, this isn't on Case. Mm-hmm. Like, Case is Case. This is mm-hmm. not like we shouldn't be blaming Case Keenum.
Right.
I feel the same way about Jeff Heuerman. Like, this is Jeff Heuerman. He's going to miss a quarter of the season. And when he is out there, he's going to be below average. I mean, he is a below average tight end. And because I knew that we were going to talk a little bit about Jeff Heuerman today, I just went and, you know, looked through his career and just looked through the numbers. Did you realize that in 21 of his 37 games played, okay, 21 of 37, so that's almost 60% of his games, he's had two or less receptions. In 14 of those 37 games, he's had one or less reception. It's almost 40% of the games, like one or less reception.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even fair to say he's just a guy. The guy has four touchdowns in 37 career games. So you get a touchdown from your starting tight end like once every 9 or 10 games.
Hmm.
If you get two touchdowns from Jeff Heuerman in a season, technically that's above average for him.
Yeah, listen, I think the role he's going to be in this year is much more similar to what he really was at Ohio State. He didn't catch a lot of passes there. I don't think he's going to catch all that many passes here. I think he's going to be a reliable guy on the line of scrimmage. That's who they're looking for. So you're making a good argument for your Hockaloogie guy. I mean, he's
gotta have one, D-Mac.
What I wanted in that number 10 spot, and I still will say DK Metcalf would do that for you. You want something kind of special there now. You know, because you're kind of battening down the hatches with all the other things that you have. And I understand how special Devin White is and Devin Bush. I see them all over the place. But I watched the Alabama Pro Day today. I saw Mack Wilson. And, you know, there's some questions about, a variety of little things with him. But
like what?
Some of his... he had like bad, he's like Charlie Casserly, like bad whiteboards and bad meetings and, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know how seriously really to take that. He ran a 4.68 40 today. He, broad jump was like 10 feet, 2 inches or something like that. I mean, he's a great athlete and he's, you know, a coverage guy too. So, he's another one of these. If you watch tape on Mack Wilson, he's another guy that kind of looks like a safety. You know, we're seeing this weird, like, are you a safety? Are you a linebacker? You know, what exactly are you? This hybrid guy, which is what Brandon Marshall tried to do, by the way. He lost a bunch of weight and tried to get in that kind of physical shape. So, you know, guys like Devin White, Devin Bush is a little short. Devin Bush isn't even 6 feet tall, right? I think he's like 5'11". So, that's kind of weird because these guys usually are like safeties. So I don't know, you know, the level of importance. What would you rather have? That sort of three-down linebacker guy? Or would you rather have a weapon for Joe Flacco? And I still feel like having a weapon for Joe Flacco is a little bit more important than having that linebacker when you can get a linebacker that's pretty good. And maybe all you need is pretty good. Don't you need kind of an outstanding playmaker and maybe like a pretty good linebacker? And like a pretty good safety, you know, because the defense is already doing all right.
Sure.
So I just feel myself. I understand you're
turning
about,
a little bit.
What's that?
Are you turning a little bit?
I want to get somebody who's going to make an impact on the offense and help Joe Flacco. So because I think you can get what you need to get at linebacker in the second round, specifically with Mack Wilson. So I think DK Metcalf, and I was like, well, am I getting him wrong or something? He kind of made me think a little bit. And so I went back and watched a ton of video. And I was like, no, I was right. You know, he's more or less who, you know, I think he can be. And I think
he is who you think he can be.
Yeah. You're kind of, you got in my head a little bit, Zach. I'm not going to lie.
Well, facts will do that.
No, I mean, you know, the tape will tell you the truth.
Well, the tape is not extensive. That's the problem with this guy.
Yeah.
He's just not, you can point to a play or two when you reference the first play of the Alabama.
You know who he is? Here's who he is.
Catching balls
with one
hand.
I'll tell you who he is. He's Josh Gordon, hopefully without all the drug problems. He is Josh Gordon.
Okay. I mean,
who's Hockenson?
It's Travis Kelce.
You think so?
Dude.
You think he's Travis Kelce?
Dude, if there's one guy that I've really honed in on this draft, I watched every single one of his.
Well, if you think he's Travis Kelce, you'd be an idiot not to get him.
Well, and here's the thing.
You think he's Travis Kelce?
Dude, this ain't just me saying it.
Yeah.
Like I told you this yesterday.
Bucky Brooks agreed with you.
Look, Daniel Jeremiah said he's the safest player at any position in the NFL draft. He said he's got the best combination of current floor in addition to highest ceiling.
I won't hate on you because essentially we want basically the same thing. We want an offensive weapon for Joe Flacco. I just think it could come better with DK Metcalf, and you think it'd be better with the tight end. I think the tight end position.
What do we need more? Let me ask you a question. What do we need more? An additional receiver or a tight end?
Well, you'd be an additional tight end, too. I just talked to the guy they're giving $9 million to over the last 2 years.
And you're talking about
a guy who had a tight end.
You realize, hold on.
You realize Jeff Heuermann, no matter what you say or what happens, he is your starting tight end. You realize that, right?
No, I don't know that to be the case.
Well, it is.
If you draft T.J. Hockenson, he's your starting tight end.
He'd be a role player.
So you're gonna draft your franchise tight end at 10, and he's gonna play behind Jeff Heuermann, who had a career year this past year with 25 yards per game.
Stop! It's not about catching the ball. Well, you're missing the point.
Oh no!
With this offense,
if you don't think the tight end position in 2019 is about catching the ball,
the Broncos don't have an offense for 2019. The Broncos are going back to 1997, dude.
Well, we're in 1997. This could be. This could be whatever the opposite of the DeLorean is. Get us caught up a little bit. D-Mac, we need one to operate an NFL offense when you're going to be, you know, incorporating play action and things like that with Jeff Heuermann as your starting tight end. It's going into a fight and tying one arm behind your back.
No, not to them it's not.
Well, not to who it's not.
The Broncos.
And that's a damn shame.
Well, I mean, are you not following what they're doing here? Do you not see what's going on? If you don't see what's going on, there's nothing I can do for you.
Wait, hold on a second. Are you saying that I am misguided on what's going on because Jeff Heuermann takes you out of drafting a tight end at 10? Is that what you're saying?
No. I don't know what they're going to do there, but they're going back to an offense that John Elway feels comfortable with, which is circa 1997. And in that particular offense, for example, with your wide receivers, Rod Smith and Ed McCaffrey, what they were great at, too, is blocking. So you have some hard, tough nose. By the way, have you watched DK Metcalf block? That dude steamrolls suckers at the line of scrimmage. That guy is, like, not afraid of contact. So you got to go back to where the Broncos were really the most successful. Now, I got it. They had Shannon Sharp back in those days, too. And Shannon wasn't like the most stout guy at the line of scrimmage, although he likes to pretend he was. But, you know, so there is that.
I was going to say, I'm looking at the Broncos stats from 1997. If you want to go back to 1997, like you said.
Who are their tight ends?
Shannon Sharp, over 1,100 yards.
Who else? Sorry.
Dwayne Carswell.
You know what he did? Blocked.
Okay, well, we got one of those guys. We need the Shannon. Like, we got this. I'm not going to argue that you couldn't do well with,
like, a Hall of Fame receiving tight end, which was essentially what Shannon Sharp was. I don't know. Listen, if it happens, I wouldn't be upset with it whatsoever. I would rather see them go in that direction than a linebacker that they can more or less get in the second round anyways, even if you think he's that special. I'm just saying linebackers and safeties are like interchangeable these days, Zach. It's just different. But if you're really telling me he's Travis Kelce, all right. But I'm telling you, DK Metcalf is Josh Gordon, like a good Josh Gordon. We got to celebrate something though here, Zach.
Darn right we do.
DJ!
Are you kidding me?
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
But take that L on the way out.
And they stay there.
How about those guys, man?
But take that L on the way out. But take that L on the way out.
Cause all I do is win, win, win. And if you go in, put your hands in the air.
But take that L on the way out.
Oh, it's a great feeling. You know, 4 years in the making, 2 years in a row, coming up just shy, one game short. Using that as a motivation for tonight's moment. So happy for all of our guys, put a lot of time and work into this, but we still have a lot of work to do. You know, we're not satisfied with just making the playoffs. I think we realized early on this season we had a chance to be a special team, and that remains the case. So, you know, let's continue to fight, try to win as many games as we can and see where we want.
But take that L on the way out.
Dude, how fun was that last night?
There's so many things about this team that are so lovable. And Mike Malone, for me, is right at the top of the list. You talking about the perfect guy for the perfect
awesome
team?
Oh, my God. And then he's in the locker room. Hey, we're going to celebrate with water, not champagne. I got to admit, the way baseball does go a little bit over the top with the the champagne every round.
Tarp the lockers, baby.
And I guess you don't really tarp the lockers when it's just water bottles that you're spraying all over each other. But first of all, what a great game against the Celtics. So much for Kyrie Irving being all fired up because of Jamal Murray. I mean, it was close, but it wasn't close like the whole game. Like, did you ever feel they were in danger at any point during that game last night?
Did I feel like they were in danger? Yeah, I mean, at a certain point.
Really?
Well, in the middle of the third, you know, before they go on that big run, and then the way that they started the fourth, the momentum just got turned on its head.
Well, you clearly can't play Isaiah Thomas. Like, they just gave him that. That was a nice thing to do. But then Malone's like, you know, he's all pissed off.
He's pissed off. Yeah. And I'm okay with that. I really am. Because I know it's not personal. It's about Isaiah being who he is.
Okay.
There was only one player last night that was in the negative and plus minus.
Was it Isaiah Thomas?
Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, he's just not. I think he's still hurt. He can't be himself. He must not be feeling like himself.
Well, whatever the version of himself is, I'm not sure that I know what that looks like. I mean, I don't know. This may be the version of himself that will exist, you know, henceforth. I just don't know if he's ever going to recapture. And no team's going to put him in a position to be able to recapture what he was in Boston.
And they're tied with the Warriors for first place.
How about that?
I cannot believe it. 13 games to go.
How many times in NBA history, and this is a serious question, I don't know the answer, so I'm asking openly. How many times in NBA history has a team missed the playoffs, then come back the next year?
That's a good question.
And been the number one seed?
Well, we can dig into it during the break. And, you know, the Nuggets are doing something that I guess the Broncos can only dream of. So what made it work? What were the secret ingredients? We'll get there next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I told the guys after, you know, we should feel good about this. I think life is about celebrating moments. I learned that from my mother and father. So if you don't celebrate it, you know, we've worked so hard. But it's a fine line, Mike. You can celebrate it, enjoy the moment, but then, okay, turn the page. 13 games to go. Got to go into Washington now until I get another win. We're not satisfied, as I said earlier, with just being a playoff team.
Nice!
We're not going to just eke into the playoffs. We want to go in there playing the best basketball of the season.
Yes!
And see if we can get home court advantage. You know, and that's a hell of a challenge for us, but, you know, why not us? And I think these guys believe in that, and I look forward to that challenge. But take that L on the way out.
A coach with perspective. How about that?
Love it.
You can celebrate small moments while also staying focused on the task at hand.
C-Mac, Zach Bye, congratulations to the Nuggets. First time since 2013 into the playoffs tied with the Golden State Warriors, despite the fact Steph Curry is making shots from like 65 feet away.
That's what he does.
That's ridiculous. But whatever, they lost, and the Nuggets are with 13 games to go. They got a shot at the number one seed. Who knows how it'll pan out, but when the Warriors had a 3-game lead on him, Zach, I just figured, oh, okay, well, you know, you're not going to make up a 3-game. I mean, I don't take teams seriously who are behind the Nuggets by 3 games. Why would I think that we're going to catch up to the Warriors? But it has happened. It has happened, and when you see that celebration in the locker room with throwing the water all over each other and jumping into each other and high-fiving, and you're like, wow, there is something here. So what was it? Like, how did this happen? And you got to start. Kudos to Josh Kroenke and the Stan Kroenke and the ownership of the Avs and the Nuggets. They went through some pretty rough times. And by the way, the Avs are right there too. The Avs are right there. It's been a bit of a shakier season, but you know, they're within striking distance. It's not crazy to think they can make the playoffs, that's for sure. Whereas the Nuggets clinch with 13 games to go. This is awesome.
Pretty cool to pull up them up in the standings and see that little X next to their name.
That's unbelievable.
Like, clinched. They could lose every single game from here
How
on
many
out.
Teams have clinched? Like, five teams so far? Both leagues?
In both leagues, let's
both
see
conferences.
Here. Five total. Yep, you got two in the West, the Warriors and the Nuggets, three in the East, the Bucks, the Raptors, and the Sixers.
The East is really weird, isn't it? Because you got some really good teams there, and then after, like, the fifth seed, it, like, falls off the face of the earth.
There could be four teams out of the Eastern Conference that could represent the East in the finals, in my opinion. The Bucks, the Raptors, the Sixers, and the Celtics. The Celtics, if they can still, they still can figure it out here when it matters most.
So now you look at a team like the Broncos and you say, well, how did the Nuggets do this? And the tough part that is really hard in the NFL is to have patience. And, oh, you know, Tim Conley's young. He doesn't know what he's doing. Well, he knows what he's doing now. The GM, right? He knows what he's doing now. And you hire somebody to do that job. Like, you're the president, Josh Kroenke. And Josh Kroenke loves basketball, no doubt. And he worked hand-in-hand with Masai Ujiri. And I'm sure he works very closely with Tim Conley. But he's letting Tim Conley do his job. And then you hire, and they didn't hire the right coach. Brian Shaw was a disaster. He nobody really was excited about him. Just, it didn't click. But you hire a guy like Michael Malone, and look at the buy-in, Zach. Look at the buy-in. But you gotta, dude, they missed the playoffs 2 years in a row, the last 2 years, by one game.
That's right.
So you don't fire them.
That's the one characteristic about this front office that is unique to the NBA as a whole right now, is the willingness to be patient, the willingness to let your draft picks develop. Like a couple years ago, the Lakers drafted D'Angelo Russell out of Ohio State. I think he was the second pick overall. And because this kid didn't come in after 1 year for the Buckeyes, because he didn't come in and average 20 points, it was like, you know, the sky is falling. Oh my gosh, we picked the wrong guy. And after 2 years, they move on from him. Now he's the fastest player in the history of the NBA, D'Angelo Russell, to make 500 threes. Not Klay Thompson, not Steph Curry, not Kyle Korver, not Ray Allen. D'Angelo Russell. Had the Lakers have been patient with him, he could have been their version of Jamal Murray. When you draft a guy like Jamal Murray or Gary Harris or Nikola Jokic and they show signs and they flash, you have to let them come into their own. And I give the Nuggets all the credit in the world for just sitting back and saying, you know what? We're going to be the anti-NBA, the league that's become a snatch-and-grab league. The faster you can get your hands on these guys, and it's such a transient league, they've been the opposite.
So, good learning lessons here. And you see that the Angels love Mike Trout. The Rockies love Nolan Arenado. The Phillies, at the end of the day, love Bryce Harper, right? Like, you got to commit to certain guys. So when you draft a guy in the first round, okay, if you don't commit to him, you're a bad organization. If you don't commit to the guys you're paying, if you give them a quick hook, you're a bad organization. And so Garrett Bowles, who drives everybody nuts, right? I don't care. You got to see it through, because you're just going to be chasing, and you don't want to be chasing. I mean, if it doesn't work out at the end of the day, fine, but you've got to give him every shot. When you hire Vance Joseph, it should have been like 3 years no matter what. It really should have been. Or why did you hire him in the first place? That's why in Arizona, I think they are just a disaster. You fire a coach after Steve Wilks after 1 year? with a rookie quarterback, and now you're probably dumping that quarterback and dumping the coach. You're a bad organization. So as painful as it is, perhaps, with Garrett Bolzak, he's your left tackle. Okay? The end.
He,
make it work.
Bolz is a curious case because he hasn't fulfilled the billing of a quote-unquote franchise left tackle, but his failures have been overstated. It hasn't been all bad with Garrett Bolz. I think he's warranted another opportunity year three. It feels like, D-Mac, this is a make-or-break year for Bolz.
I think so, too. I think 3 years is fine. You get 3 years, and after 3 years, if it's really not happening, it's a bust, unfortunately, and then it's all right to move on. But if you don't give these first-round, second-round, third-round guys, if you don't give them 3 years, then they didn't do a terrible job. You did a terrible job. And sure enough, when you give the Nuggets 3 years, Zach, look at what's happened. I mean, it is awesome. Awesome. And you know what? It's probably going to be better next year because they're going to learn whatever they're going to learn in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you know.
And there's some hard lessons coming up.
If they lose in the first round, it'll be somewhat devastating. When I saw Utah just hanging out there at 7, I'm like, oh my God.
Well, that's the.
It feels like anybody but Utah.
Well, you know who they'd be matched up with right now?
Are they the number one seed?
Nope.
Well, what are they?
Well, right now they're the number two. I'm going to assume.
They are? Even though they're tied record wise?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's some sort of conference tiebreaker or whatever makes them number two?
You know what? I'll get back to you on that. But yeah, right now Golden State is perched there at number one. They won the tiebreaker. They got two to one so far. So they have the tiebreaker. Yeah, but one more to come. So right now you would be matched up with the Jazz.
Yeah, that's kind of
it's just a terrible matchup. But you know it's so tight there. I mean, between San Antonio and the Clippers, you're talking about teams 5 through 8 with a one game difference. So to really overemphasize who they're going to match up with, this is going to be such a fluid situation here over the next 2 weeks. But I'll tell you what, I don't like the matchup against the Jazz, and I don't like the matchup against the Spurs.
Well, we'll have time to dig into it. We got first world problems now.
Right.
We got playoff problems.
I like that.
Right?
I like that.
First was just getting to there, but now we got playoff problems, and we'll get there. The Broncos are still trying to just work through these things, and it's a bit painful, but I'll tell you why. And I think they've made a philosophical change, and John Elway has done something for the last time, and I'll be more specific coming up next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
NFL news. Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle reporting that Kyler Murray is meeting with the Cardinals, Cliff Kingsbury, and GM Steve Keim.
How about that?
That's cool. That makes sense. Everybody else was at the Alabama Pro Day. I was watching that today. That was fun. Bill Belichick showing up wearing his Alabama gear. Alabama! Even Nick Saban wasn't. He was just wearing like a sweater vest, but Belichick was geared up in Alabama sportwear.
Alabama!
Thank you.
When you played that Mike Malone clip from earlier that he said, look, my mom taught me to celebrate small moments in life, and his willingness to do so. The guys who I think are the anti of that is like Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, where Nick Saban, the confetti can be falling. He's like wiping it out of his eyes, and he's still like Mr. Curmudgeon, and it's always got to be the next thing, and it's always got to be the next recruiting class. I'm on a jet, and I get it. That's what makes him as successful as he's been. But gosh, life is too short
This is what those guys live for. This is their fun. This is what they love. And those two are thick as thieves. I think it was Sports Illustrated wrote a big article about their relationship over the years.
Saban and Bill?
Yeah, they're real tight. And Belichick's learned a lot from Nick Saban and isn't embarrassed to just go down there and learn new stuff and bring it back with them. So, that's a good sign if you're always willing to be open to learn, that sort of thing. I think they both go forever. You know, I don't know why either one of them would ever hang it up. And I think they love being all bitter and upset. Look at our boy Boeheim. He freaking loves it. He loves it.
Like I can appreciate their success and what makes them successful, but at the same time, I just don't feel like that's a way to go through life.
That's their lives.
Not having a willingness to smile. Like, think about that statement. Like, not having a willingness to smile.
Dude, Belichick smiles. He looks like a beached whale jumping off his boat in Barbados. I mean, I'm hardly one to call somebody out, but Bill, my goodness. But he's got a, you know, nice little girlfriend that tags around with him and loves him, and he's got his, you know, six rings yacht or whatever he calls it these days. Yeah. And Saban's an old curmudgeon, but he was so happy, you know, chit-chatting with everybody, kissing the ring from Nick Saban, you know, for all those NFL guys, because he was in that grind and he failed miserably. So now he's the king. Like, they all have to come kiss the ring at the Alabama Pro Day, right? He used to be one of them.
Sure.
He used to be nothing special, just one of many. Now there's Mike Mayock, there's John Lynch, there's Bill Belichick. Hey, welcome. Well, look what I've done. Look what I have done. It's like Tom Hanks and
Castaway.
Look what I've done. Fire.
I saw Bill Belichick in a hotel. I was calling a game in the NCAA tournament in it was Orlando, I think. And he's got like some like niece or someone that's like a cheerleader or something like that, or cheerleading like coach. And he's checking in, and me and a buddy is like, yo, that's Belichick. So we go over and went to go say hi. Well, another one of these knuckleheads like from the bar was tagging along with us, and we didn't know him. And I said, hey, coach, and I stuck out my hand. I was like 23. And his girlfriend that he's still with.
The Belichick.
Yeah, Belichick. She goes, excuse me, he's not working right now.
Nice.
Like, stuck her hand out.
Nice.
I'm like, okay, as if when he was working, he'd be willing to do this?
Yeah,
so he goes and walks away from the checking in and goes to get on the elevator. The other guy, knucklehead behind us, who's half in the bag, goes to do the same thing.
Yeah.
He gets the same stiff arm treatment, and as the elevator doors are closing, the dude screams in, you still can't beat the Giants!
That's classy. That's classy crew that you roll around with, Zach.
He was tagging. He wasn't part of the crew.
When I said there's something John Elway is not going to do again, like the last time, we were kind of amping up to it when you're saying you got to commit to things. And I do believe it's a different change in philosophy that they've had. I do honestly believe Vic Fangio is the last head coach John Elway will ever hire. I really do believe Joe Flacco is the last quarterback John Elway will put the faith of the franchise into. Now, there was a report, Mike Liss, that the Broncos briefly inquired about Blake Bortles.
Yeah, I saw that.
That makes sense to me. Because we talked about just the foolishness of really drafting a quarterback for the Broncos. Now, will they take somebody in the magic mushroom land, the fantasy land of the fifth through the seventh round? Maybe. You know, you could throw a flyer out there, 5 through 7 every year. It doesn't matter. Anybody you get 5 through 7, Zach, is, you know, you kind of luck out.
And that's what they sort of done, right? Zach Dicer, Trevor Siemian,
yeah,
Chad Kelly.
It's just not a strategy. It's no, not, sure. And like Beep Beep Evans, you know, who's really focused on how to get backup quarterbacks here. Hope is not a strategy. In Mike's case, it's the strategy. So if you're not drafting a quarterback before 15, maybe 16 or 17, but if you're not drafting a quarterback before 15, you're just not all that serious about it. Not really. It's not a plan. You hope something else will happen. So, Zach, I think Elway's done, dude. I think, coach, that's it. We are not going. Here's what the plan is. Fangio for, you tell me how long, however long.
5 years.
Okay. Fangio for 5 years, Scangarello for 15. And theoretically, that's the plan. Because how old is Scangarello? 41?
I think he's a little bit older than that. I think he's 46, I want to say.
46?
Give me a second.
So maybe not 15 years, but maybe 10 years. I mean, essentially, that's the plan. Joe Flacco, you know?
He's 46, Rich.
He's 46?
Yeah.
All right, so 5 years, he's 51. So 10 years. I mean, Fangio is like 61 right now, or older.
He's 60, I believe. First timer.
This is it. Like, this is it for Elway.
Plan B?
There is no plan
B. They don't have plan B.
No. Oh, my God, the laugh.
We're going plan A.
Well, this is plan A. There's no doubt about it.
This is like it. But, I mean, that's where I'm going. Like, I think, Zach, this is it. Fangio's it. Scangarello after that. Flacco, it. And then it'll be somebody else's problem. So in terms of your backup quarterback, go get Blake Bortles. Go get whoever you want. Forget about developing anybody. Doesn't matter. Just get some. I would welcome Trevor Siemian back here in a heartbeat.
Have been saying it for the last 2 weeks that I believe Trevor Siemian is the perfect fit. Because if Joe Flacco is going to miss 3 games and we're in win now mode, the question is, who do you trust to come in and try to go 2-1? Who do you trust to come in and just sort of steady it so the ship doesn't totally sink?
But you know what? This is good news. Like, deep breath. Like, so far, so good. Everything seems to make sense. Everything feels better. It was rocky getting to this point. But you look at the draft. Like, we gave the draft good grades. Cecil was, like, killing us.
I heard that.
Wrongfully so, by the way. But that's okay. Cecil's a good dude.
No, we can get into it.
All right. Well, we got plenty of time. But I just feel like everything is more settled down. Everything makes more sense. And there's a finality about everything that's going on for this John Elway age. The age of Elway. We're in the final years of it. And thank goodness, in the final years, in my opinion, things seem to make sense. Football Force next.